Hi, Jason.
Hey, Brian. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us. It's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you.
I want to tell our listeners that the reason we're speaking is you're doing your greatest hits live tour at MGM National Harbor, right outside of D.C., on January 22nd. So everybody get your tickets now. Tell me a little bit about this tour. I know you recently toured, you know, you did the 50th anniversary of Pet Sounds, I think, you know, recently in the last couple years, but this is called Greatest Hits Live. What makes this one special or, you know, a little different than if we saw you last tour?
Well, the harmonies and the band players.
Awesome. Don't you have one of the original band members there, don't you, with you this time?
Yeah.
Tell our listeners who it's Al, right? Tell him how special he's been for the band since the beginning.
What's that?
Tell our listeners how awesome it is to have Al Jardine with you there. So he's been with you from the beginning.
Well, it's great because he's a great singer.
Yeah, he really is. I know I've seen you in a couple of recent set lists. You usually open with California Girls, and I actually interviewed you back when you guys were doing the Love and Mercy movie a couple years ago, and you told me that California Girls was your favorite song. Why is that?
Because it's about girls.
Absolutely. It's such a great one, and it jumps around the country and talks about all the different ones. Take me back to when you guys actually, you know, formed back in the early 60s. I know you guys were originally the Pendletones. How did you end up changing to the Beach Boys? Did you have that early song Surfing that kind of was a local hit out in L.A., but...
Some guy named a name, I can't remember who, but he named it.
All right. Tell me about Al Jardine's gonna be on tour with you for here. I want to know if you have a minute that original group of guys that were in the Beach Boys. I want to know just like what you thought each one brought to the group. So like what was Dennis?
Dennis brought drumming, Mike brought singing, I brought producing, and Carl just singing.
Yeah. And you love how Dennis sings that on California Girls?
Yeah.
All right. When you guys started, you know, you changed your name to the Beach Boys, you kind of pioneered that whole surf rock pop genre there. What, when you're writing Surfing USA, you know, I Get Around, fun, all those kind of beach songs, did you realize you were creating a genre, or are you just trying to put out catchy songs?
Well, I realized I was, yeah.
All right, and then when you wrote In My Room, tell me what that's about, because that one's sort of about escaping into your room. It's a little more melancholic and a little more personal to you, right?
Well, it's about a little sanctuary where you can go and sleep and dream and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. And you had, tell me what were you going for with the song, like, you know, Wouldn't It Be Nice or Don't Worry Baby? Those are a little more optimistic. Of all your songs, those are the ones that are kind of, that, you know, give you a, you know, they inspire you a little bit.
Just the lyrics, the good lyrics.
Okay. So you have all those early hits and, you know, on those early albums. And then I know it's been written about a million times, but I know in 1964, you kind of stopped touring with the rest of the guys, and you stayed home, and you know you started working on Pet Sounds. How did being off the road with the guys help you to focus and be, you know, you invented, you know, you're experimenting with all those unorthodox recording techniques in the studio. How did being off the road help you sort of, you know, focus during that time and experiment?
Well, it gave me time to go in the studio.
Yeah. And is it true, you know, during that time, you know, maybe doing a little bit of psychedelic drugs and a little things to, you know, enhance, you know, open the mind a little bit?
Well, the psychedelic drugs helped me write my melody.
Yeah. Remember last time we spoke to you, you had said that you heard the music from God and it just came out of your arm and onto the piano keys. Did you actually, I mean, even in the movie they talk about like auditory hallucinations, and I mean, do you feel like you pick up good vibrations and it just comes out onto the keys for you?
Yeah.
Just describe that for me a little bit. When you sit down to write, do you close your eyes and it just filters out through you? Describe that a little for me.
Well, I close my eyes and I start playing the keys. Then comes the melody, then the lyrics.
Yeah. What were some of the crazy things that you tried when you were in that studio doing Pet Sounds? What are some of the crazy things, like unorthodox things that had never been tried before? You know, what sort of experimental stuff did you try in that studio when you were making that album?
Well, we used bicycle horns and tambourines.
Yeah. Were there actually a couple animal sounds too, I think?
Yeah, my dogs, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. I know God Only Knows was on there. Didn't Paul McCartney, I think he said it was like the best song ever written. How does that make you feel?
Well, that made me feel pumped up. It made me feel proud.
Yeah. Did you admire their work with the Beatles too? Were you guys like a little bit of a back and forth, push and pull, you know, inspiring each other to work harder and try to outdo the other band?
Yeah.
What was so great about their music, and what do you think, you know, why is it so, why does it, you know, touch you so much that Paul McCartney would say that?
Well, because he's a great singer.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you finish Pet Sounds, after that, I know you start working on Smile, which was also, you know, very groundbreaking, but you never really finished it for a long time. And then it finally, I think Good Vibrations was on that. Why do you think it didn't work out the first time and you abandoned it? And then, you know, how cool was it to finally come back all those decades later and win a Grammy with it?
Well, it made me proud because it was one of my best songs.
Yeah. And why do you think it never got finished, back in the 60s? Why do you think it took so long to finally, you know, put it together?
Well, because it had a lot of different sections to it, you know. We used like four different recording studios to record it.
Yeah, that's cool. Talk about what did you think of I absolutely loved the Love and Mercy, you know, the movie, the biopic they made on your life. When you're sitting there watching that, what did you think of the performances by, you know, John Cusack and Paul Dano?
Well,
I thought
it was a very factual description of my life.
Yeah, they really go into, you know, your time with, you know, Dr. Eugene Landy. Paul Giamatti played that part, and, you know, your second wife, how important, you know, how she, you know, got you out of his control and his care. Is it hard watching any of that in the movie, or is it pretty darn accurate to what it was like laying in bed?
I was proud of that movie. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah. Is it hard watching the scenes, you know, where, you know, you're kind of just, you know, where you're laying in bed for a while under Landy?
Yeah, it was kind of rough for me, yeah.
Yeah. How much do you think, what do you think of Dr. Landy, you know, now? Or do you feel like that was, you know, some time that was lost you could have been recording, or is it just something that, you know, you're glad you went through and came out on the other side positively?
Well, I went through it and it came out the other side, yeah.
Yeah, we're glad you did. We're glad you're back touring, too. Did you, tell me, I want to know more about, you know, the other guys in the band. I mean, I know, you know, you said what instruments they played, but I want to know what they mean to you. What did Dennis Wilson, he was your brother, obviously, and you know, died tragically too, but what did he, I'm sure you miss him, but tell me about what he was like just as a person.
As a person, he was a very, very nice person. Yeah. Very, very friendly.
And then musically, what was his biggest talent?
Oh, singing.
Yeah. And then how about Carl? What did he bring to the band?
Oh, he brought joy and happiness.
Oh, that's great. What sort of stuff would he do to bring joy?
Well, the way he talked to us when we were recording, he'd say, okay, guys, come on, let's get going.
And then your cousin, Mike Love, I know he still, you know, sings with the band, but what was his biggest, you know, gift to the band?
Well, singing, of course.
Yeah. How was his voice different from other groups at the time, you think?
Well, he could sing bass or regular, mid-range.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, Al Jardine. What did he bring to the group?
Al, he brought singing to the group.
Yeah. And then if you want to brag on yourself for a little bit, what did you bring? Obviously you were the, you know, the genius songwriter there, but did you enjoy, you know, being the sort of the one that all the lyrics got to come from? You know, you were kind of the key piece there.
Well, yeah, of course, yeah. I enjoyed it, yeah.
What happens, I know, starting even like in, say, from like the 60s onward, you started getting, a lot of people would apply the term genius to you. What does it feel to, I mean, is that a weird thing to be told, or you're just making the music the only way you know how, but what do you feel when someone calls you a genius?
Well, a genius is another word for clever. So I'm very, very proud of myself.
Yeah. So if Paul McCartney says God Only Knows is your best song, you said you really, you know, like California Girls. Is there another one that you think that doesn't get like the credit that it deserves, that when you listen, when you sing it on tour, where you're like, that's a damn good song?
Surfer Girl.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. It's a pretty ballad.
All right. And what do you usually conclude your show with? What do you usually wrap it up with? Is it Love and Mercy?
Yeah.
Okay. Why did you pick that as a fitting, you know, finale of the show?
I don't know. We just thought it was a good tune.
All right. How many people are on stage with you? Like, how big of a band do you have with you?
12 people.
Okay. And are you sitting at the piano for most of it, or?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Do you have a favorite album that you did? I mean, everyone holds up Pet Sounds. Is that what it is, or is there another one that's your favorite?
The Surf's Up album.
The Surf's Up album. Why is that?
I don't know. Just got a lot of good songs.
Do you have a favorite song that's on the Surf's Up album?
Yeah, Us. A Day in the Life of a Tree.
Ooh, why is that your favorite?
Because Jack Riley was a good singer.
Yeah. What is your second wife? You know, she's a big part in the movie, but tell me what she means to you and how important she is.
Well, she inspires me to write music.
Yeah. Are you still writing to this day?
No, I haven't written for a couple of years.
Yeah. So you
plan
you're kind
to
of
very
just,
soon.
You're just kind of focusing on touring with the greatest hits and everything right now, and then you'll get back at it.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Do you have anything, any sort of ideas swirling on what, you know, what might be sort of a next album or anything, any ideas percolating?
Not really, no.
Yeah. When an audience member comes to one of your shows, what do you hope they feel when they're leaving?
I hope they feel happy that they heard something good.
Do you think it's a lot of people that, you know, grew up with their music, or maybe do you hope, you know, because I think the Beach Boys music crosses generations. I think you might have some grandparents, parents, you know, kids. You know, you might have multiple generations in the audience. Do you hope that you know, is that sort of something you're going for? You hope that, you know, people that grew up with your music are passing it on to their kids too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think it translates? Why do you think it's so timeless? Is it because everyone can relate to the beach and, you know, being happy and that kind of thing? Why do you think it never gets old? Your music, it sounds fresh today. Why?
Well, because it's they're evergreen. They're forever.
Yeah, it really is. What do you want people to remember most about Brian Wilson? You know, when you finally hang it up and you know your legacy is written, what would you want people to say about you?
Well, I hope they thought I was a good singer.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us. Again, everybody, it's January 22nd at MGM National Harbor, Brian Wilson's Greatest Hits Live. Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, bye-bye.